In today's gospel, Christ promises to remain with us who share his life in baptism even until the end of the world.
The Lord be with you
and with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Deacon Doug.
During my diaconate formation, we were all required to take multiple homiletics classes. And for those of you who are wondering, yes, I passed. Barely. But one of the running comments that we always heard was, whatever you do, no matter what, do not say, do give the homily for Most Holy Trinity Sunday. Don't do it. Be sick, go on vacation, just don't give it. Because it's very difficult. How difficult? Well, little story may explain this best. One of the most wonderful and famous works on the Trinity is called De Trinitate by St. Augustine. The story is that while he was working on De Trinitate, he was wrestling with the mystery of the divine nature of God. He grew frustrated. He was struggling to understand. So to clear his mind, he decided to take a walk on the beach along the Mediterranean on the coast of North Africa. And as he's walking, he notices this young man. And the young man has dug a hole in the beach, small hole in the beach, and he sees him with a scallop shell going from the Mediterranean back to the hole and pouring water back and forth into the hole. As you would imagine, Augustine is shaking his head and he says, "Young man, what are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I'm going to take the entire Mediterranean Sea and I'm going to put it into this hole." And he stopped. He said, "What you're trying to do, boy, is impossible." He said, "The sea is too great to fit in the hole that you've dug." And he walks off, shaking his head. Well, the boy stands up and says, "It's no more impossible than what you're trying to do, to grasp the Trinity in your small little mind." Augustine turned around. The boy had vanished. So with that in mind, I want to thank the bishop for this wonderful honor today to give that. The Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of the Christian faith. It means that every other mystery, the incarnation, the paschal mystery, the mystical body of Christ, our sacraments, salvation, all we hold true and sacred can only be rightly understood in the light of the Holy Trinity. The crux of the problem that St. Augustine had, and many throughout the centuries, and probably me this morning, is what can we really say about the Holy Trinity? What definition is sufficient? I think St. John says it simply in John 1, chapter 4. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another because God is of love. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love." There it is. God is love. Pretty simple, huh? But what does love mean? In the English language, we use the term for love for everything. I love my spouse. I love my kids. I love the cup of coffee I had this morning. I love my car. You get the picture. But the more we use a word, the less it means. And in the English language, the most overused word is love. But not for the Greeks. For the Greeks, they had specific words for different types of love. They had philia, which was the love for family and the love for your community. They had eros, which is the butterflies in your stomach type of love. But the highest form of love was called agape, sacrificial love, the love that gives completely of itself for the good of another. And agape was the word that Jesus used when he spoke of love, sacrificial love. And that's why he says there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend. Sacrifice, sacrificial love. Now we're getting closer to the nature of God, to the mystery of the Trinity. God is perfect, complete, self-giving, sacrificial love. God is a communion of three divine persons. Within the Trinity, there's the one who loves, God. There's the one who is loved, Jesus. And there's the love that they share, which is the Holy Spirit, the triune God of love. So what does this mean for us? Well, it means everything, because all of creation, everything you see, is an act of the triune God of love. We're created in the image of the triune God of love. Marriage is modeled by the triune God of love. And the church is an expression of the triune God of love acting in human history, and every one of us has been invited into the divine mystery of the triune God of love. So as we ponder the mystery, we're called to marvel at the depths of God's love for each one of us. Despite our weaknesses and failings, God invites us into communion with him. He's drawing our imperfect lives closer to him. This is a love that knows no bounds, a love that seeks only our good and our salvation. But the Trinity is not just a doctrine to be believed. It's a relationship to be lived. We're called to mirror the divine love and unity within our own lives and community. Just as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are in perfect communion, so too we are called to be in communion with one another. The God of love wants us to be bound together by the bond of love. In a world that often seems divided and fragmented, the Trinity reminds us of our shared humanity and our common destiny. We're all beloved children of God, called to love one another as God has loved us. Let us therefore strive to build bridges of reconciliation and understanding, reaching out to those who are marginalized and oppressed, and working together for the common good. So, what does the Trinity mean? It means everything. May God bless you.